Mike, I got a question for you. What's the deal with this? What's the deal with this Tonka truck Rask guy? Guy goes south for a few weeks, and he comes back, and all of a sudden he thinks the net's fucking his. I mean, I'm not gonna talk. I'm really celebrating all these wins he's got, but the guy's scored a fucking goal in 10 years with the Bruins. So I just want to know what your thoughts are. The first time, long time, but I'll hang up and listen.
All right, I don't mind hosting, but you can host.
I think it's me.
I think it's your turn, yeah.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
All right, welcome to Brews and Bruins, your Friday content for this week. It's season 2, episode 40.
38.
It's approximate.
It might be 40. No, Bergeron was last episode, so yeah.
It's okay, it's 38. It's the Jordan Caron episode. We just watched the Bruins play against the New York Islanders, and we have our good buddy Mikey Radigan from the Three Cheers for Goaltender Interference podcast, an Islanders fan and apologist.
Did they play? I didn't see the game. I didn't know they were playing. Right? That's so weird. I thought you guys just wanted to come on to chat about, I don't know, Shrek or something like last time. I'm surprised I've been brought back this quickly.
Yeah, a much better outcome for the Bruins than the last time we talked to you.
Yes.
In which case we pretty much actively didn't talk about the Bruins.
Yeah.
Yeah. This time it's a little exciting. It's exciting for both of us, or all of us, because you guys got some new acquisitions, and
yep,
and we got some new acquisitions, and we're all kind of feeling it out, seeing what it looks like. And
yeah,
I think on both accounts, it looks like new players are fitting in well.
The Islanders, since they got Palmieri and Zajac, they still haven't played a really, I mean, they won a game against the Flyers, and then they lost a game against the Rangers, won a game against the Rangers. They just dropped one against the Bruins. I still think they're feeling it out a little bit with their lines and things like that, adding two new guys into, you know, the lineup, and they really didn't subtract anyone. That being said, Bruins were due for a win against the Islanders too. I think the Islanders took, like, what was it, the first five? So Taylor Hall looks really good, I think. I forgot that he's a really good skater.
Yeah, that's kind of his thing.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, I forgot he can, like, really skate. And yeah, he's been playing with Krejci, right?
Yep. Yeah. Krejci and Craig Smith, the man with two first names.
Yeah, Craig Smith, I know people kind of got on him up there, right, a little bit in Boston. He's, like, kind of streaky, but I think he's a good player.
Yeah, I mean, he's absolutely on fire right now. And I think you know what we should do? Drew, do you have an ad read?
Basketball season won't be around forever, so get in on all the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when using code THPN during sign-up. Playing daily fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the
sweat
like never before. Every dunk, steal, assists, and more, whatever else more they judge it on, means so much more. DraftKings daily fantasy lineup. Basketball fans, you may have missed out on a season-long fantasy, so now is the time to get in on all the daily fantasy action, where DraftKings has even more ways to make it rain. With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players, so what are you waiting for? Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use code THPN during sign up this week. DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code THPN, and you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's only on DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Nice. I'm drinking a Miller Lite. Drew's drinking a Corona Premier again. Mikey's got himself a Diet Coke.
Yeah, I got a heavy weekend on the horizon, so I'm playing it safe right now. I have a big Saturday and Sunday, so.
Yeah, I figure we don't need to rate those. Let's get into the real talk though. Mike Riley, the Bruins' biggest acquisition at the trade deadline. He's great. He's both hilarious on the ice, just doing random shit on the power play, like just passing it back and forth for no reason, just taking sticks to the face.
Is he the one that started bleeding?
Yeah, he was the one who started bleeding. And he's also just like a good hockey player. He's fun to watch, and he's just
it's a good dude.
Personal favorite of mine now.
I thought that was a really underrated pickup for the Bruins.
Yeah, we were pretty high on it after looking at the fancy stats. Obviously, I've never watched Mike Riley play the Ottawa Senators, but I mean, just looking at some underlying numbers, dude, over the course of the past few years has been a really solid possession guy and really good with the first primary assists, and this year kind of stepped up his defensive game and seems to have been a really positive force on that Senators blue line. And I mean, just looking at him now, everything he does on the ice is cool. Just cool, man.
Yeah, he looks really, really confident for a player who's now just two games deep with his new team. I think that's really impressive.
Quick decisions, making crisp passes.
That's going to be they got McAvoy back. Was it today's first game back, or was it against the Sabres on Tuesday? But regardless, they got back.
I think he was back against the Sabres.
They got McAvoy back. I don't know if Carlo is close. Is he still hurt? I don't know. If they can get full, there's 19 games left for most teams. If they get Carlo back, and then you had Mike Riley, and then you're not playing Kevin Miller 20 minutes a night, I think that's actually a pretty solid decor once it's fully healthy, if they can stay healthy.
Hoping Matt Grizzlick comes back.
Matt Grizzlick, that's another guy. Yeah, he's been pretty...
fucking bubble wrap until the
play. Yeah, he's been like one of their best defensemen, right, Grizzlick?
Yeah. The McAvoy... Grizzlick pairing has been like the best in the league.
So they get healthy. I mean he's a great addition right now too, but once healthy, he's a solid, you can put him on the second pairing, third pairing, I'm assuming, and you'll be just fine. So I think that's,
it pushes everybody down a spot and makes sure, I think Jeremy Luzon's pretty solid, and I think Zboril has a chance to be good at some point in the future, but right now he's just not ready.
Yeah, he's not the right fit right now.
And I like him at times, but I don't trust him when it comes to playoff time. I think he's the type of player who might make a mistake that costs a game, and you don't really want that in your lineup. And I think having a guy like Mike Riley in your middle pairing pushes Luzon down to the third pairing. And I think Luzon's a really good third pairing defenseman.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the top four teams, all of a sudden it seems like a fucking buzzsaw now. I'm not comfortable. Just as an Islanders fan, I'm not comfortable playing any of those three teams, the Caps, the Pens, or the Bruins. I think the Bruins are pretty situated in that fourth seed for the most part. I know they do have some games in hand. They play the Buffalo Sabres like 90 more times.
Yeah, it's somewhere between 12 and 90.
Sabres just beat the Caps tonight, though,
the Sabres are rolling. So
yeah, it's
Anders Bjork. That was their issue the whole time. Bjork had a goal and assist. Bjork and having Curtis Lazar and Taylor Hall.
Has a goal and two assists since the trade and is outpacing Taylor Hall by a large margin.
This they're gonna. I know this because I watched really bad Islander teams from like 2008 to 2013 or whatever. And at the end of the season, they would just beat good teams. And you're not playing for anything. You don't maybe grip the stick as tight, you know what I mean? And you, So I think I don't think Buffalo will lose every game. But that being said, the Bruins, you know, having the rest of your a lot of games left against Buffalo is very nice. So maybe they can sneak up on that third seed. But yeah, those four teams, I like it's kind of like pick your poison at this point. They've all really improved. I guess maybe the Penguins. I like the Jeff Carter addition was fine, I guess, but they really didn't add anyone like the Caps, Islanders, or Bruins did.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm interested to see what the rest of the season holds. We got a 2-game sample of the new guys, and I think
yeah,
Curtis Lazar is fitting in pretty well. I think, you know, uneven game from that fourth line, but they really came out strong.
And we've seen the fourth line. I don't know what that is. I just know it as the Zarg Wagali LaKerner line. That's
Jesus.
Wait, is that Wagner? Is he on the fourth line, right?
Yeah, I hate everything Drew did during.
Yes, yeah, Zarg Wagali LaKerner line. That's
Drew and I had a competition. Yeah. During this game, we got a ton of interactions, engagement on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw a lot of it. Kept popping up on my feed, and I'm like, and it was like,
do not want.
Yeah, it was when the Islanders are losing, and I'm like, I don't want to fucking see this shit. I'm like scrolling. Yeah, a lot of GIFs were flying around.
Mostly Photoshops on our end.
Yes, yeah,
we're big in the Photoshop meme game. Yeah, Drew,
I don't think many are pleased by it.
Drew traffics in what people might call cursed memes.
Yeah. It's my forte.
I go more standard. I did the like Craig Smith as Jason Momoa sneaking up on what's his face, Superman.
You're doing normie memes, yeah, where Drew is more like Joker twisted.
Yeah, definitely. Where the head was replaced by the heart trophy, so you know, watch out, everybody. Drew doing more of these kinds of things where he's melding all of the faces of the fourth line together.
That's demented.
The replies to that were so funny.
That's
Chanel just being like, someone locked Drew up.
Yeah, that's there's an account that does that with like random players, I think. And
that's bad.
They don't do three. They don't do three.
They do a lot for the app. They combine like the top half and bottom half of faces, and
that was a beautiful picture that I just saw.
I mean, between the two of us, we had a stellar night in terms of engagement. Not sure what that engagement does for us in terms of like unfollows versus follows, but.
It can only go up, right? It's a lot of eyes on it.
Stonks only go up.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Zar Wagali LaKerner line. I'm just gonna keep calling it that until people hate it. They already do, but I'm just gonna keep going.
Yeah, we still haven't buried the erection line yet.
Yeah, well that's an actual good one. This is just funny. Not even funny. It's just annoying. Zar Wagali LaKerner line. Anyway, they were very good. They were very good last game, and that's why they got the nod for the opening faceoff for this one.
Yeah, they
had a really good energy line.
They got it deep right off the. I mean, it felt like the first 5 minutes they were moving pretty well, and then the Islanders had two off days, so I don't know if maybe that, you know, you're used to playing every other day, and then oh no, they didn't have two. They last played Sunday night, so they had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off. So I don't know if that had any effect, but, you know, rest is
nights off.
Yeah, I was just like, what? Because I'm used to them either playing every other night or back-to-back nights or 3 and 4. So I don't know if that threw them off, or then just getting good. They got a lot of early penalties. I think they took like 4 penalties in that first period or 3 or 4 penalties. Yeah. So. A lot of time on the kill, which is not what you want on the road to open a game. But Tuukka looked fine, like first game back. He didn't really get tested too much.
No. I disagreed with the... So this is going to be like... Oh, what's up, Cam?
Hey, yo, Mike. I got a question. question for you. What's the deal with this? What's the deal with this Tonka truck Rask guy? Guy sits out for a few weeks, then he comes back, and all of a sudden he thinks the Nets fucking his. I mean, I'm not gonna talk. Everybody's celebrating all these wins he's got, but the guy's scored a fucking goal in 10 years with the Bruins. So I just want to know what your thoughts are. The first time, long time, but I'll hang up and listen.
I think that was one of the best I ever heard.
Right on cue, too. Right as we started talking about Tuca.
I was like, oh, Tuca looked fine. And then you...
Yeah, sorry. Mikey already gave his take on Tuca.
All right, well, I guess I'll just listen to that one tomorrow. You guys have a wonderful night. Mikey, I miss you, buddy. Go talk about Shrek for me.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, let me ask you. Your wife ever leave you because you just keep talking about Tuca Rask and, like, he just makes you so mad at night that you get your little notepad out and you just scribble his name a bunch of times, and it's just like, who does he think he is, this Tuca Rask guy? Bring back that kid, the kid from Maine that's a sicko in, like, shootouts. Bring him in. That little freak.
Jerry Swayman, that's our kid.
Jeroway Swayway.
He played for Maine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Hockey East guys, so that's cool. I'm glad he's...
We're all Hockey East fans here.
Yeah. Hey, I'm an ECAC guy.
Ew.
Okay, fine.
Let's go, baby. All right, I'm out.
Later.
I'll hang up and listen.
I was hoping he would just hang up and listen.
Me too. I'll just edit the rest of that out and I'll go from here.
So what I was going to say before Cam interrupted me with the best call of all time.
That wasn't Cam, that was just a listener calling.
that was Mark in Dorchester.
You could call our hotline, 555.
I had some disagreements with the Nesson broadcast tonight, where especially Billy Jaffe between periods was pretty tough on that fourth line, where, you know, he kind of expected that energy every time they come out there. And I feel like if you're possessing the puck in the offensive zone for the entirety of every other shift, I think you're fine if you're playing like 8 to 10 minutes a night.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to be doing if you're a fourth line. You're not getting hammered in, you're not giving up quality chances, and you're, you know, wearing down and getting your own chances. I really don't see how you can complain. It's not like the Islanders really had that much sustained pressure. I think all four of the Bruins lines played really well. I really can't... that goal that they gave up was just a nice pass from Barzal from behind the net, and Zajac was right there. I mean,
yeah,
that happens. But yeah, I thought Bruins looked really good, and now I'm kind of nervous. I don't want to play him again tomorrow.
and on the other end of the spectrum, I think they were pretty complimentary of Tuca at the end of the game. I think especially Brick was talking about how good he looked coming back. Just like, fine. I think he had a couple of times where it looked like he might have been beat. And just had a couple of... you know, he just got his body on the puck, and
he gave up a couple of rebounds in the slot, I thought. And but that's, I mean, it's his first game back since 20 days ago or whatever, so we'll see. And he's off tomorrow, because I'm sure...
yeah, I mean, just let's pump the brakes on, like, all right, Vezina Tuca's back.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. What he won, it was like a special win, right? Didn't he, isn't it like a career 300th? Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of wins.
The winningest goaltender in Bruins history.
That's a lot of wins for a guy.
Some people who aren't happy about that.
Yeah,
the best goaltender in Bruins history, but
ooh,
y'all not ready for that conversation.
I like how we have the luxury of like saying how we aren't happy. Like Rask gave up a couple rebounds, and like
yeah.
like that he gave up a couple rebounds, and like half the teams of the league could be saying like, "Wow, he gave up like three goals that."
I love the idea of using Swayman as a backup while, I mean, I guess Yarrow's still on the shelf. I don't know how long that's going to be. I think he got COVID, right?
Yeah, he's off. I think he's off the COVID list now.
Okay.
But he's going to have to build up. Like, you got to build up back to your... it's like you took 2 weeks off. You got to skate. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think you need at least a week of practice.
Yeah, and that can have an effect on your lungs and everything too.
Yeah, we know.
Not too fatigued.
Yeah, it's scary when Yeah. Some Celtics player just I forgot who said
Jason Tatum.
Tatum says he needs an inhaler every time before he plays, but I mean, he's a superstar and he like scores 50 points a night, but that's still like, you know, he's a world-class athlete. That's scary stuff. So
And whatever's going on with the Canucks right now, it's
that's been like scary and weird.
Quinn Hughes was like on an IV daily.
Yeah, it's really disturbing, and it seems that the Canadian division is kind of having more the problems that our divisions were having, the American divisions were having at the beginning of the year and the middle of the year.
Yeah, I think just Canada in general is on.
Yeah,
phase.
I don't know about if the Bruins have been able to get vaccinated, but like the Rangers and Islanders are all vaccinated now, or a majority of them are, and so yeah, I think
like, not to spread rumors that I don't know 100% of the story on, but I think Colorado got vaccinated and Philip Grubauer didn't, and then he got COVID.
Yeah, that's like, I don't know. Get vaccinated.
I do know for a fact that the Minnesota Twins got vaccinated and Jarelton Simmons did not get vaccinated, then immediately got COVID.
Again, it's just like, what are we doing, man? It takes like a couple of weeks for it to kick in, so it's not like you're protected right off the bat. It usually takes a couple of weeks before you get to like at least 80% protection. Anyway, yeah, Tuukka looked fine. And they have that kid playing tomorrow. It'll be fun to watch him face off against Sorokin. I think Sorokin's been really good for the Islanders, so I think it'll be a closer game, I'm hoping. Back-to-backs are weird, especially like when they're two. It's, you know, it's not a day off in between. You're seeing the same team 2 days in a row. That's the first time since the 1980 playoffs, the Islanders and Bruins have played back to back.
Yeah, I've gotten used to it this year. It's weird. So just because you mention it now is the only time I've really thought about it, because I've kind of gotten used to like we're just like playing the same team. I kind of like it. It's like baseball. Like, you just play the same team for a few games and then you move on.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, I like it when the Islanders got to play the Sabres 3 games in a row and beat them 5-2.
To do that.
Yeah, so that's like cool. The Islanders have to play the Caps 3 times in a row, I think, next week, and I'm like, oh, that's not. That's not fun for me. Like,
yeah, I like the idea of both a win and a loss. So like in this case, the Bruins just beat the Islanders, and then like tomorrow you get a chance to
take a split,
prove it again, or as an Islanders fan, you get a chance to come back and you know, prove that.
And it's hard to win back-to-back games, I feel like, against a good team, like two in a row. So you usually take going into these 2 games, I'm like, if the Islanders go 1-1, like, I'll take that and move on, because you're not going to beat the Bruins forever. And so let's, you know, get one and then just move on. So, and it's, you have a chance to, you know, split games against a good team. So, but Rangers are kind of nipping at the Bruins' heels a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
and they play a few games against each other down the stretch. So it's going to be interesting.
Very important.
That'd be fun if they, I mean, not fun, but it'd be, Rangers are streaky, man. They're like, some games they'll pump in 9 goals against the guy, then other games they look like ass.
It's been a while, I feel like, since the Bruins and Rangers have had some like crucial games against each other in the standings. Like, obviously it's different, they're in the same division this time around, but like, even, you know, just being in the same conference, so like trying to get into the playoffs, trying for that wild card position or anything, it's usually just like NBC going, it's the original six.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Now it's like they could be like, yo, they're looking for a playoff spot.
I do think that team's good. I think you know, I think they got some depth issues. And
that was always their problem going into this year, I feel like.
But I mean, early and mid-season issues, you got Mika Zibanejad got COVID and just came back and did not look like Mika Zibanejad.
Had 0 goals for like the longest time, right? He just could not score.
And now he's fine.
Has like eight hat tricks.
Right? Yeah, like, he had like two 5-point games against the Flyers.
Yeah.
Just fucking incredible shit. Panarin had that whole issue with like his family back in Russia.
Yeah, that was an unfortunate and odd situation. And he missed like I think a solid 2 weeks with that. Yeah.
But I mean, Ryan Strome's shown up and become a pretty good player. I mean, Filip Hedl was injured for a while, I guess, and I think he's back now. Got a pretty good goaltending tandem there.
Yeah.
And Adam Fox has kind of emerged as like a Norris candidate, kind of.
I think a lot of people are kind of chiming him in to be a Vezina candidate. And so that's when you have that on your blue line. And I like Keandre Miller. I think he's a really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got a good future ahead of him. Yeah, they're a solid team, and it's annoying. maybe they'll make it interesting. We'll see. I mean, they just pumped the Devils tonight.
I hope not.
Yeah, I think the Bruins, the percent, if you look on like Money Puck or whatever, has the playoff predictions. I think the Bruins are at like a solid like 88% to make it.
Bust up.
It would be very like 2014 Bruins to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, need to win like two of the last three and like win one. I'm pretty sure as well.
Didn't they lose to the Panthers the last game of the season?
And they needed to win two, and they won the first one. They lost the second, and then they were like, "Oh, it's the Panthers. We should have this," and then didn't.
Yeah, was that Jágr was still on that team, right?
I think that was Jágr's last go. Yeah, because he stayed the team after
the Cup
13. Yeah, so.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, I think Bruins they'll make it. It just depends who they're going to play.
Did Jágr? I thought that was when they signed Iginla.
Iginla.
Oh, it was Iginla. Iginla. Yeah. After they tried to get Iginla at the trade deadline in the 2013.
And the Bruins swept him.
Yes, in the conference finals, was it?
Yeah. I think, I don't know. I was at the game that they swept. No, I wasn't at the game they swept. I was at game three, or was I at the game they swept? I don't know.
Not
either way.
All right, so the standings right now are the Bruins are 5 points back of the Penguins with two games in hand, and they are 4 points ahead of the Rangers with two games in hand. But I believe the Bruins play the Rangers three times in the rest of the season. So it's not a foregone conclusion.
How many more times do they get the Pens?
Okay, so
I
here
feel like
we go.
We've played them a fair amount.
Islanders, Bruins tomorrow, obviously. Bruins play the Sabres. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more times. That's on paper nice. Bruins play the Penguins twice, and they play the Rangers only two more times. Okay.
Very interesting.
Devils twice, Islanders one more time after tomorrow, and the Caps twice.
I mean, I'm not too worried as long as this Czar Wagalli Lekkerner line keeps it up, you know, like... I think I'm just gonna find ways to work that in there.
Were you guys surprised that Taylor Hall, like Boston, was his spot?
A little bit, and it makes me wonder: did he wish he got drafted by them?
Very interesting. When I heard
I've been seeing a lot of things. So I think in an interview before he got drafted, I think he said he wanted to go to Boston.
Really.
I mean, he's had plenty of opportunities to sign in Boston, so it's not like.
But money was the.
Yeah, divide. Boston never had the money to offer him. And this time, so I think our feelings, I'm not going to talk for the whole podcast, but my feeling.
You can talk for Cam, though. He's not here.
Yeah, I'll speak for Cam. Cam and I had this feeling prior to the season where, you know, we didn't want to spend the money on Taylor Hall to get him on the roster this season. And, you know, he had some worrisome aging curve issues where, you know, if you look at his raw numbers since his heart season, the 2 years have been not very good.
Right.
And he's had some issues of streakiness and just fallow periods of scoring. But also, you look at the teams he's played for. I don't know. Like, is it that big of a deal if you're not scoring for the Coyotes?
Don't disrespect the Coyotes, or I'm going to have to tell Kat on you.
Not this season's Coyotes, but...
No, I get what you're saying. Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, I feel like he's always kind of, he was like Jordan Eberle in Edmonton, where it was just like, they got run out of town for whatever dumb reason. It was an unfair shtick that like, but, and then he went to Jersey, played pretty well for Jersey, but had a couple of years where he was injured, and then went to Phoenix or Arizona, excuse me. And then, he's a great player. He is a great player. It's interesting because I think out of like all hockey media, like you have Canada is pretty harsh with players. I think Boston's up there. Boston, like they'll roast you. So I was surprised that it's like, it's a big hockey town to play in, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, so I was listening to, not to pump other hockey podcasts on this podcast other than three goals
per game. That's
okay. But I was listening to Rachel Dory was on Puck Soup this past week and was talking about Taylor Hall.
And yeah.
Her understanding is that Taylor Hall kind of lets his agent do whatever as long as it's in his best interest. And she thinks that his agent kind of pushed him into Buffalo because of the money.
Oh, makes sense. Makes sense.
He more wanted to be on a contending team like
that makes
Colorado
sense.
Or Boston, and just the money didn't really work with Boston. I think Colorado had the cap space, but
Colorado did. Yeah, I feel like they always have, like, for whatever reason, they are the best team in the league and they have billions of dollars of cap space. Makes no sense. But yeah,
because most of their players are pretty
they have tons
young.
Of RFAs coming up, and
yeah. Okay,
if you have Nathan MacKinnon making like
$2 million, yeah.
Like,
oh, good. They can enjoy fine. Cap. They can enjoy cap hell like the rest of us.
Yeah, MacKinnon and Makar are making minimum wage over there. Yeah.
That's true. Well, it's a good. I mean, Rachel's actually been on our podcast once, and she's great. I know she's she was with the Devils, so I wonder. I'm pretty sure she must have been there.
Yeah,
at the same time.
She knows Taylor Hall's agent, so
there you go. Yeah. Yeah, so that makes sense. And that's not, I don't know if that's like an unnormal thing, not being a professional in anything myself. I'm sure your agent is, sometimes you just don't want to deal with it and you have your agent deal with it. That makes sense. But he sounded rattled, not rattled, but like that press conference of him, the trade to Boston, he's just like, he even said it, he's like, I'm not having a good time playing hockey like up in Buffalo. It hasn't been a good situation, like I've lost my confidence. And he looked good tonight, I thought. But
that's some candor you don't hear from NHL,
which I thought was really interesting. Good for him. Yeah, it's he'll
much prefer that to the yeah, you know, it's just sometimes the puck luck's not with you. You just got to get pucks to the net and hope good things happen. You got to put your teammates in good positions, you know, get pucks in deep and, you know, go to the dirty areas and, you know, make sure you're putting yourself in the right position and you'll eventually come out of it. I think everybody has these periods of,
you
know, not scoring. So, you know, I just gotta go out there and make sure that I'm, you know, doing everything, you know, putting in 110%, and making sure I put myself in positions to get out of this little slump.
I think it's because also Buffalo had a really bad bout with COVID at the beginning of the season, and I wonder, you're starting to see players open up a little more and like not necessarily show more personality, but be like, yo, this
sucks. JT Miller.
That's what I was gonna say. JT Miller. He's like, yo, this is bullshit. And yeah, Buffalo, like, as bad as they were, they had a really bad bout with COVID and then like they just fell apart. And yeah. I can, hey, shit, that's cool that he's like, it was a miserable situation. I know. I remember I DM'd you guys, and I'm like, wow, the night it happened, I'm like, wow, Buffalo is a joke. But then I kind of, I guess he just really wanted, it was like basically Boston or nothing for him, it sounded.
Yeah.
Like, towards the end of the day.
I forget the other team that was like in talks with them, but
was it Vegas?
I think it was
Islanders. The Islanders originally, before they made the Palmerians Ajak trade, I think they were like, they're about to send a first to Buffalo. And then I guess Jersey came back. It's like, we'll throw in Zajac. And then Lou Lamoriello was like, well, anytime I can get a guy that's 35 and he's played for me, bring him on. So, which I actually really liked the trade, but they ended up with Palmieri and Zajac. And then, though, the Islanders kind of started circling back that Sunday as well. And that Saturday and Sunday heading into the last day. But I guess Hall had that NTC, and he wanted Boston, which, yeah, great trade. I think that's
screwed over the Sabres in the process.
Yeah, I mean, poor Sabres fan. There's nothing you can do. Hopefully, Anders, is his name right? Anders Bjork.
Yeah,
that hopefully becomes something for them. I guess I don't know.
He has 3 points in 2 games, so
he'll be given the chance there. He'll get regular minutes.
Right, he couldn't really
line up in Boston. He played on the first line a few games. He played on the fourth line a few games. He never got the chance to find actual line mates and really carve out a role. So hopefully there can kind of be what he was built to be, which
his
like
fancy stats say he's a really good defensive forward. And like eye test tells you he can create offensively and just can't put the puck in the net, or hasn't put the puck in the net. And I think he can be good, and I hope he is good. It'll absolutely drive Bruins fans crazy if he like becomes a 30 goal scorer on the Sabres. So I'm rooting for that.
He is I think he's another Hockey East guy too, I believe.
He's Notre Dame.
Oh, he's Notre Dame. Well, I think it was when Notre Dame was in Hockey East, though. I have to look this up.
Okay.
Oh.
It was. It was when I believe Notre Dame was still. Yep. Notre Dame was still Hockey East. So Hockey East is technically a Hockey East guy. So.
Damn.
Yeah, I would say, like, coming out of the deadline, I would say the Bruins, the Islanders. I don't know really. I mean, I like Tampa got better defensively. I'd probably say those are like the teams that improved the most, maybe. I don't know. Am I missing anyone else?
It's hard. Caps
trade. Caps trade was weird.
Yeah. I mean, Verona scored for Detroit tonight, so that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, Mantha has I think he has 3 points as well, or 3 or 4 points in his 2 games, which is whatever. But that was I don't know. But Bruins looked the best, which I know. I feel like people are kind of split on what I saw some tweets like, why should we give up assets? This might not really be our year. Too many injuries. And then they got him for
They got those 3 players for Bjork, a second and a third.
In a draft where you can't really scout, like it's going to be a crap.
I think the one thing I will say about the Sabres in that deal is the second rounder was next season's second rounder for Taylor Hall. So
it might be a stacked draft coming into next season.
I think that was a good move. The one from this year, the second round pick. I feel like we gave that up in another deal, maybe the Johansson deal, because we gave up 2 second rounders in that. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah, help us get to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, so. Sick. And then Tuukka Rask couldn't win
Can't win the big game.
He's got 300.
You know, it was his fault.
Maybe Jeroway Swayway could do it.
He's got 300 of them, but none of them.
Oh, he can, dude. We've seen him in the shootout. You know, he can win the shootout in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. So.
Yeah,
that's true. The Stanley Cup Finals are notorious for going into the shootout.
Some great shootouts we've seen in the Stanley Cup final, man.
Yeah, watching 6 round shootouts.
Damn, man. Yeah. All right. That's it for this episode. I got to go make dinner. Drew's got to go to bed.
I forgot it's West Coast time.
Yeah, he's West Coast. It's 7:45 and I haven't eaten dinner yet. I'm an old person and I need to eat dinner early, so.
I feel like I really redeemed myself this episode. I didn't drive the train off the rails.
Barely any Shrek talk.
But
then I saw her face.
Yeah, oh man. I'm a believer. I'm a big Smash Mouth fan. You guys part of hashtag Mouth Nation?
No, they call it that.
I call it that.